Thank you for listening to this audio recording from LimoPlanet 2020 Free the Future. The following talk was presented at LimoPlanet, the Free Software Foundation's annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology. For more information on LimoPlanet, visit limoplanet.org/conference. LimoPlanet is a live conference with speakers who often use visual slides in their presentations. We have only selected talks for this audio feed that do not overly rely on visuals, but if you would like to see a speaker's slides, they are available at media.limoplanet.org. LimoPlanet speakers do not represent the Free Software Foundation. As part of our mission to show how important free software is to everyone, we have speakers talking about their use of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take positions on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedoms of all computer users, LimoPlanet is made possible by thousands of individuals who, like you, donate what they can. To keep this work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss.
Okay, so my name is Felipe Sanchez. I live in São Paulo, Brazil, and I'll be talking today about Font Bakery, which is a free software tool that I developed for checking the quality of typography font files. The tool is developed, it is funded by the Google Fonts project, but it is a free software tool that can be used by anyone who's interested in taking care of the quality of their font files. And when I say font files, I mean typography, right? The drawing of fonts, the shapes of letters and text. So I'm going to give a brief description of the purpose of the tool and some insight on the process of developing it and the challenges that we face on a daily basis while improving it. A little bit about me. I'm a free software activist, main developer of Font Bakery. I also have a team who's actively working on the development of Font Bakery. And on my free time, I'm really, really interested in old computers. And so I've made some contributions to the multi-arcade machine emulator project. And by the way, I've been in 2016 at LibrePlanet talking about a little bit about MAME as well, and electronics and reverse engineering, but that's not the topic of this talk. You can take a look at the video online. And if you like that kind of content, I also have a channel, a YouTube channel, where I talk about electronics and hardware hacking programs, projects. which was developing Inkscape features. I was working on typography features for the SVG standard, because Inkscape was meant to be released, the 1.0 version of Inkscape was meant to be released whenever it fully supported the SVG standard. And so I saw that there was a portion of the standard that had absolutely no support on Inkscape, which was SVG fonts. And because of that, I started getting involved with typography. Then because of that kind of work, I met this boy, not Rob Savoy, but this other boy, Dave Grosland. You probably know him because he's also been a speaker at LibrePlanet some time ago. And Dave is, 10 years ago, was already involved with the development of typography, free software typography, free fonts. He's been a very active, very vocal proponent of adopting all of the values and practices of the software freedom movement to develop typography as well, because fonts are basically a combined work of graphics and software. So a font file contains art, but also code. So it should be dealt with with the same software freedom imperatives that we have for applications, for software, for programs, you know. So the same concepts apply, and he's been very vocal about that. And Dave nowadays, or for a long time, Dave has been involved also with the Google Fonts project. So he basically brought me to the team, and nowadays I provide services to the Google Fonts team by developing this tool. So Google Fonts is a collection of font files and font families. So it is important to make this distinction, because I suspect that the people who are watching this are not necessarily familiar with the typography terms, but anyway, a font is just one style, while a font family is a set of different styles that have something in common and go together. So you can have the regular of a font, and you can have the bold, and you can have the italics, and so all of these, each of these are fonts, but the collection of them we call a font family. So the most basic font family would have four fonts, four styles. It would be the regular, the bold, the italic, and also the bold italic. And Google Fonts has a collection of almost 1,000 font families. So this probably means something like 3,000 font files or more. Roughly 3,000, I think, font files, and 1,000, 3,000 or 4,000 font files, and 1,000 families, right? And you can use the fonts from this platform. All of them are licensed under free license. The vast majority of these fonts are under the UFL license, the Open Font license, right? There are some exceptions, but the vast majority, almost all of them, are under the OFL. So it is effectively a LibreFonts repository that is managed, hosted, and developed by Google. Anyone can use these fonts under the terms of the free license. Right? And in order to make sure that these font files are good, we need to have some sort of quality assurance procedures, and Font Bakery is basically one of the components in this pipeline of ensuring the quality of the fonts collection. So Font Bakery is developed in Python, and it is a linter. It is a collection of checks that ensure that certain aspects of the fonts are correct, are following the best quality guidelines. So there are some things that are specific to Google. There are some things that are general best practices in the industry. So the development of Font Bakery uses some other Python tools. So Font Tools is a Python project that provides access to the internal data in a font file. So it gives you basically an API to inspect the data structures inside of the font files. And Font Bakery heavily depends on Font Tools. And this is an example of the kind of output you would get when you run Font Bakery on a font file or a font family. So all of the checks have universal identification number, an ID, a universal ID. Yeah, that's it. So we use reverse notation for who's providing the check, who originally implemented the check. So all of the ones that I do, I use this Google Fonts domain, reverse domain prefix. And then we have some categories of checks. So this one has name because it's taking a look at the contents of the name table. So what is the name table? The file format that we're checking here is TTF. It's actually OpenType. It's a font format, a standardized font format. And the way that the files are structured is by sort of a database of tables. So there's several tables with metadata on the font with several fields. And one of these tables is called the name table. And the name table collects text strings that have some meaning on the font file. And so we have specific entries on this table with specific semantics. For instance, we have one of these entries on the name table where you can specify the copyright status of the file. So people typically place a long block of text with the actual text of the license in that field. And the Google Fonts team does not like that because it means a lot of content in the font file that is later delivered to the users. And so if the files are larger, the file sizes are larger, it takes a bit longer to download the font files. So it is better to keep those entries simple so that we have like shorter, smaller file sizes. And also this is one kind of problem that we check. But in this case, we're checking something else here. And it's pretty interesting, this one. There's a clause in the Open Font License that is optional. It's called the reserve font name. And the reserve font name is basically telling anyone who uses the font that they can use it, they can make modifications, but they cannot use the same family name. So this is bad in several ways, but in the specific case of the Google Fonts collection, this is bad because Google wants to have the ability to update the files, to fix bugs, to change things, and still keep using the same family names, because people on the internet are always are already using those fonts on documents, and they have. If you change the family name, the benefits of the fixes would not be delivered to the users who were already using the fonts. So it is important to be able to keep using the same name so that we can push improvements to the users. And for that reason, the Google Fonts collection requires that the optional reserve font name clause of the OFL license is not used. Some designers do not know about that, so they end up using the clause. So this check basically inspects the name table and sees if the reserve font name expression is mentioned anywhere in the name table. And if it does, then the check does not pass. And it instructs the designer to remove it, right? Originally, we did not include this rationale block, which is basically the explanation of the meaning of the check and why is it important and what motivated the development of the check routine. But after a while, we understood that it would be extremely important to have rationale text on all of the checks, so that people are actually educated about what are the motivations for each checking routine. Otherwise, people would be dealing with what we call dogma, like just some requirements that have to be, you have to comply with, and there's no explanation why, and people tend to be upset by that kind of thing. And so as a whole, the project has this goal of educating the type designers with all the reasoning behind the checks, so that it's not arbitrary, right? Criteria. And this is an example of that same check, how it's implemented in the source code. So we make heavy use of Python decorators. So we have this at check decorator, where we specify the ID of the check and the rationale text, and then the body of the function is the actual Python code to inspect the contents of the files. As you can see, the check function accepts the TT font object, which is an object provided by FontTools. So FontTools opens the file, parses the contents, generates a data structure representing the contents of the files, and this is passed to the check routine. And then we use the FontTools API to access the name table. It's like a dictionary. So we access the name table, and for every one of the names in the name table, we get the entry, the Unicode string of that entry, and we verify if reserve font name is mentioned, and we even check it lowercase. So this basically means it's case insensitive, regardless of the case used in the text. It will be detected. And if it finds something like that, then it yields a fail message. So you can see that the fail message, so we're yielding a fail status and a message. And the message object has this keyword RFN, and then the actual log message. So the reason why we use the keyword is because we check the quality of the Font Bakery collection of checks using test-driven development approach. So we actually have tests, code tests that ensure the correct behavior of the font checks. So this is potentially confusing because Font Bakery is a test suite for fonts, but the project itself has got its test suite for its source code. So it's kind of testing the tests. And for that reason, we decided to use the term check for the routines that check the font files. And we use the term test for the routines that validate the quality of the source code of Font Bakery itself. So we have a test of a check of a font. We also have documentation on how to participate in the development of Font Bakery. We would be glad to have contributions if any of you are interested in working with fonts and quality assurance for fonts. So Font Bakery has this developer documentation on read the docs. The development documentation is maintained in the Git repository, and it's automatically built with Sphinx. And we also have in the documentation the description of the actual checks that are available. I just talked about a couple of them, but there are plenty. There are like a bit more than 100 checks that are implemented. And these checks are separated in different categories. So we have this concept of a profile. A profile is a collection of checks that have something in common. So we structured the project based on an open type profile, which is basically checking things to conform with the open type specification. So if the spec says that something is forbidden, then we can have a check ensuring that this will never happen. But then there's also some things that are not specified on the open type specification, but are commonly agreed upon best practices in the type design community. And there are things that we like no type designer wants to see in their fonts. There are some common problems that everybody knows about. And for that reason, we have another profile that's called the universal profile. So in theory, universal is the main goal of Font Bakery. The mission of the project is to collect all of the failure modes for fonts, is to be able to describe all of the possible ways that something can go wrong in a typography, a digital typography project. So really, the universal profile is the core of the project. But we also have things that are vendor specific. There are some requirements that only a specific manager of a font collection or a type foundry or anyway, someone has specific criteria to check, and these are not necessarily commonly agreed upon throughout the type design community. So we have vendor-specific profiles. In this case, we can see here that we have Adobe Fonts and Google Fonts. I work mostly on the Google Fonts checks, but there's also people from Adobe contributing code to Google Fonts, to Font Bakery, with their specific criteria. And of course, there's people using Font Bakery privately. You can also do that. But we strongly encourage people to do development in public so that ideally we can migrate these things to the universal profile if they are truly universally useful, right? And we have some other profiles in here, like the UFO sources runs check quality checks not on the font binaries, but on the font sources, if the sources are in the UFO, the Unified Font Object format, which is a format for describing font projects at the source level, at the project level. not at the binary level, not the thing that you ship to users, right? So there are some source level checks for UFOs there. And oh yeah, as I mentioned, Adobe actually does have even an open opportunity. If someone wants to work professionally developing free software, typography, quality assurance tools, Adobe is hiring. I'm not sure if this is still open, but a few weeks ago they published this, and I found it pretty amusing, and actually made me super happy that in the description they say what you need to succeed, blah, 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 and massive bonus points for deep knowledge of font internals, experience with free software font related projects such as the AFD, Adobe Font Developer Kit, and Font Bakery. Font Bakery is there. So, and Font Tools and some other free software tools in here. All of these are free software. So it is a sign of success whenever we see that there are companies actually paying for people to do this kind of free software development. So this is the case for Adobe. This is the case for Google Fonts, which is funding my work on developing Font Bakery for the past few years. And also, I would like to show some more insights about the way we work with the issues. So here you can see the issue tracker at Font Bakery, which is unfortunately hosted at GitHub. A long time ago, I tried to convince them to use something else, but we were not able to. So for now, we're using GitHub. And these are the issues for Font Bakery. So these are like the things that we still have to fix, or proposals of new things that we may check in the future. So you can see that we have some labels like new check proposal, where people describe a new kind of checking routine that would be nice to have. And there's also like P0 urgent. These are like bad problems that must be fixed as soon as possible, like urgently. And we have roughly 300 open issues and 1,300 issues closed. So this gives you an idea of the level of work, the intensity of work we've been doing in the past years. Also, there's the issue tracker for Google Fonts itself. So the collection of font files are also hosted in a Git repository, and the team also uses the issue tracker and pull requests to update the font files. The reasons for updating a font file are not only fixing problems with the fonts, but also improving the scope of the font projects. So sometimes you have a font that only has a Latin character set, glyph set, right? And then you want to expand the coverage for more languages. For instance, you may want to have Cyrillics in a font. And the beautiful thing about Libre fonts is that anyone can do, and anyone can implement a glyph extension, glyph coverage extension. Anyone can do it, even commercially, of course. Someone can hire you to extend the glyph coverage of a certain font family, and people do. And Google Fonts has been doing this kind of stuff for a few years. Oh, by the way, it's almost 10 years already. And this is the issue tracker where we keep track of the updates of the font families. And a good thing that we can do with PhonePagery is that we can run it automatically on the server whenever a new commit or a new pull request, whenever an improvement on the file is published on a Git repository, for instance, it can be configured to trigger a virtual machine on a server to be brought up and to run PhonePagery automatically on those files, and then generate a report of all of the problems that were detected, and this will give you the green pass or red fail results in the pull request here. As you can see, Sophia Sands has some problem, but the other ones look good. And we can take a look at some of these. For instance, I think we can take a look at Comic Neue. So you can see that there's a pipeline of different things that are done automatically whenever we push a new set of improvements to the fonts. And one of the steps is running PhonePagery. So PhonePagery looks good. That's a comment of one of our co-workers, and she reviewed the PhonePagery report and said it looks good. And this is the actual report. So you have the statistics. So no checks failed, but there were some warning messages and several checks were skipped. So whenever a check is skipped, it means that the files, the check does not apply to those files. There may be checks just to validate specific things about variable fonts. And if a font project is not a variable font, then it doesn't make sense to run a variable font check. So we have a mechanism for skipping the checks that do not apply based on some criteria, just like that. So there's a whole bunch of checks that were not executed because it didn't apply. But then the ones that did execute, 33 of them emitted warning messages, but none emitted a fail message. And the distinction here is that a warn is something that you should take a look at and think about. And a fail is something that must be fixed, is some problem that is unacceptable to have before releasing the font files to the public, right? And there's also error. So an error is a status for something that is a problem with PhonePagery itself or with the setup, the installation. Maybe you're lacking a dependency, some third-party tool is not properly installed, and then so you actually have a system error or a bug in PhonePagery itself. We use a try-catch Python structure to not let this crash the program, but actually emit a log message informing that something went wrong. So the errors are problems with the infrastructure, and fails are problems with the font files themselves. Okay, and then if you click here, you actually can see the report on a web dashboard. So this is a project that Lasse Pfister, which is a friend and co-worker, developed. Developing. It is a web dashboard that displays the PhonePagery results, because you can run PhonePagery on the command line, but you can also run it on the server, and the dashboard is one of the ways of doing it. Another way of doing it is by setting up continuous integration on Travis or similar systems. In this case, Comic New, the bold style, has these warnings of things that must be improved, but no fail, just three warnings. Okay. And what most of it. Oh yeah, we have 300 open issues, and I'm making an effort to bring these down. This is the recent activity on bug fixing. The red ones are the ones that the issues that I closed. The green ones are issues that I have opened myself, and this does not include things that other people opened or closed. But you can see that the yellow line is the total open issues, and I'm trying to bring them down to zero, but it's always a challenge. Oh yeah, and the final thing that I'd like to say before closing to questions is that the major challenge on developing Farm Bakery is not the developing of the software itself. Let me stop sharing here. Okay, so the major challenge is not the actual development of the Python code, because it's not a very complicated piece of code. The major challenge is actually to collect the knowledge, to gather all of this knowledge about typography. And there's like a whole community of people who are very knowledgeable about this stuff. And I really see Font Bakery's mission as the mission to collect all of the ways that fonts fail and all of the criteria for making really good font files, really good quality font files. And the checking routines and this infrastructure that we develop, I see as a side effect. The most important thing is actually collecting the knowledge, and checking automatically is the immediate product that we can deliver based on that knowledge. And it really is really hard to grasp some of these things, because the type design community has lots of practices that are not properly documented, because people know by heart that they should be doing something or shouldn't be doing something else. And it's kind of a craft that they learned through time. And sometimes people don't even know why they do things certain ways, but they do. And we have this situation where sometimes we're enforcing some requirements, but not, we don't know if we really need to apply to those aspects, so with that, I'll open for questions. Hello. Yeah. Sure. I've just finished. Did it cut a lot of what I said? Okay. I will restart. Sure. I want to hear the questions. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, can you hear me now on the stream? Oh, I see. Okay, that's perfect. So I've been informed that I don't have more time for questions. So I'd like to thank for participating this year. And let's hope we can see each other in person next year at Liberplanet 2021, perhaps. And see ya.